We want to consider this morning in our regular preaching of the whole counsel of God, and specifically with regard to our life of thanks. We want to preach from the commandments, and specifically the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. We want to do that as we have been considering all of the commandments in the light of the entire Word of God, and specifically this morning from James in chapters 3 and 4. So if you would turn with me, and always in bearing in mind that we're considering the seventh commandment about adultery and the prohibition of it, turn with me to James 3 and consider God's wisdom light at verse 13 and through chapter 4 and verse 10. So James 3 and 4, the inspired wisdom of God here to shed light upon our path with regard to our living according to the seventh commandment and not in transgression of it. James 3 and verse 13, the question is asked, who is wise and understanding among you? And I want us to consider that, each of us, as directed directly to each of us. Who is wise and understanding among us? Let him show by good conduct, if he is wise and understanding, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Thus far we read God's word, the wisdom of God, according to James. We want to consider the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. In light of that wisdom, may God make us wise as we preach here and respond to the preaching by hearing and believing and being wise. We want to consider the seventh commandment. We've been considering them all. They are a perfect ten. The will of God revealed for us today in the light of the entire Word of God and in light of the New Testament gospel. The will of God stands, God's law, the perfect ten. And also the perfect commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. We want to consider this commandment today. Thou shalt not commit adultery, God says today. He still says it. Even where two and three are gathered together, and there is an orgy. God still says it. Where 200 or 300 companies are gathered together, and they imagine and they put all their heads together to imagine what sort of sensuality will sell their products What advertisements revealing the most skin and luring people into sexual thoughts and even debauchery will sell their products? We live in a day when two and three are gathered together and 2,000 or 3,000 or 100,000 or million marriages are made. And it's a day, an adulterous age, this whole world lying in wickedness and lying together, when the 2,000 or 3,000 or million marriage end up in 2,000 or 3,000 or 2,000 or 3,000,000 divorces. We live in a day as well when 2,000 or 3,000 or million churches gather together and they try to figure out just how to tolerate the sodomites. This is the day in which we live, and we must hear the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery today. If we want to be those who are the two and three gathered together, who would be holy as God would have us to be holy, who would be those who are gathered together not to commit fornication, gathered together, whether it's today or Friday night, not to be lured by the devil into all sorts of sensuality, no. If we would be those gathered together today at Sovereign Grace Church, we would be those who would have the wisdom from above, which is first pure, and the wisdom from above, which would lead us and our young people to be those who would keep themselves unspotted from the world, that we might not be a part of the adulterous generation. Ready to hear? I believe that the Spirit Himself has led me to turn to James at this time and to consider with you the seventh commandment in light of the wisdom that we have there that God gives us for our walking in this world. You know that the canonical significance of James, why James is in the Bible, is that God has given us a New Testament Proverbs right here. The Old Testament Proverbs is the book of wisdom, the Chokmah of the Hebrews, and in a very important way, it's Chokmah, or wisdom, for young men to be wise and to be pure. Now, in James, God has given us this book of practical Christianity, these proverb-like things in James, so that we can walk purely, young people and old and middle age and all of us going through all kinds of crises in this adulterous age. So James is about wisdom for practical Christianity, and such a time as this needs James to speak to them, God through James to speak to us. Wisdom, in fact, is what James is urging upon the people throughout the book. The very first thing he says just about in James chapter 1 is this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let us ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then in the context of our text in chapter 3 and verse 13, the question is asked: who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And then verse 15, we are warned against the wisdom that does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. And here in our text, we are told that the wisdom that is from above, verse 17, is first pure, then peaceable, and so on. So that we may walk in this wicked world, 2,000,000 or 3,000,000 gathered together to have fun with sex. Let us hear the wisdom of God. Be wise, be pure, be holy, be faithful to God, to our relationships, and to ourselves. So, wisdom from above, that's my theme. Adultery below. The seventh commandment in light of a word from James. Wisdom, verse 17 of chapter 3, which we read, is, if it be wisdom from above. That means wisdom that we need for all kinds of living, James is saying. And now for our purposes in our sermon, for a pure living in an adulterous age, wisdom from above is divine. It's a great virtue of God, first of all. We can define wisdom in theological terms as perhaps this way. The ability, the virtue of God that he has in light of his knowledge of himself in all things to make everything in harmony with his own goodness and everything that occurs to work according to his will. Wisdom is God himself walking the talk, as it were. God himself living out of his own goodness and good intentions and causing it to come to pass. That's what wisdom in God is. It's so that when he decrees the world, for example, it's this perfect place. And that's why he says in the beginning, in the first chapters of Genesis, when he made everything, it was very good. He wasn't comparing everything with everything else, maybe in another universe, and saying, well, this is better. No, he's saying that of the things he made, of all of the things living and non that he made, of the sun and the moon and the stars, he was saying it's good. Why? Because he beheld his own wisdom there. His wisdom in the fact that he made it to be a place of glory. That's what God made the creation to be. That's why the heavens declare the glory of God. That's why all this world is a preacher declaring that God is God. There's a voice in creation. That's why, too, God, when he said it was very good and he rested from all that he had made, he was declaring something about what he intended with this world. It was so good, it was made so that everything would work even according to his plan, in harmony with his plan. Now, that's a wise, wise maker is God. He made everything as this great architect and then this builder so that it would all be his, always and forever. Now, this, of course, is not the case among sinners. When sinners fall, they become full of folly. When God made everything, he was very wise, even so that there would be a fall. Imagine that. It wasn't outside of the will of God. It wasn't outside of God's plan that Adam and Eve would eat of the forbidden fruit and that the whole human race would fall. It was wise of God, very wise, beyond our ability to understand how God, who is perfect and pure, who made everything very good, could be wise in making Adam lapsable, as we say, fallible. Or Eve, so that she would fall. And yet, he did. But now when sinners, they fall, the folly is all on them. They are made so that they go against their better knowledge. They're not wise. Again, they know God, but foolishly they deny God. They know God's will, and foolishly they live apart from God's will. Wisdom, children, is you. When you know something, when you know that mom and dad say, don't go out into the street and run because the cars are there, you know it's wise to obey your parents. Foolishness is you know and say, I'm going to go there anyway. I'm going to play on Pulaski Road, as my parents used to tell me to do when I was naughty. And the foolish child goes against knowledge. Well, how much more? What sinners are all about, going against their knowledge. They know that God says, worship me. They worship other gods. They substitute their religion for the true religion of God. Well, God, however, is concerned that there be wisdom from above down here below, even after the fall into sin. He would, in fact, save us by his wisdom. So he comes in Jesus Christ, who is eternally the wisdom of God. You know how that's the book of Proverbs describes Jesus in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. And that's a big word to make us to see that wisdom takes on a human aspect here. So wisdom is called I. Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. And then in verse 22, the Lord possessed me. Wisdom is talking here like a person. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was even or ever an earth. And then later on, then in eternity, verse 30, I was beside him. Wisdom was beside God as a master craftsman. And I, wisdom, was daily God's delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. You see that? That's Jesus talking, the wisdom of God. Wisdom is God's Son. Wisdom is God's Word. Wisdom is the way that God will do things in this earth, even a Son way, even a divine way, so that from above, ready world, comes wisdom. And wisdom is here, and wisdom is there in the creation of the world, and God is shaping everything so that wisdom might be known, even Jesus. And lo and behold, in the fullness of time, God is very wise. He sends His Son to bring back into harmony the sons of men with God. Very wise, then, is God in causing His Son to take on human flesh and doing it His way, the perfect way. Very wise is God on the cross. Oh, yes. So to harmonize justice and mercy so that there's no contradiction, so that Christ can die for sinners and without God compromising His justice, so that God can show love, also showing holiness in showing His wrath upon His Son. That's wisdom there. Everything in harmony. Everything hugging one another. Everything showing in the highest degree, to the nth degree, that God is God. So Jesus is the wisdom of God, and grace is wise, isn't it? What a wise thing for God to do. For you and for me, who can't pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can't jump through hoops. We can't say, Lord, look at my cupboards. Look on my wall and all my degrees. Look back with me, won't you, Lord, at my pedigree? We can't do that and say, because of that and because you're looking at it, Lord, I deserve something. We can't do that. But grace is wisdom's way. God's riches at Christ's expense. Free favor. Unmerited favor of God. That's the Christian religion. That's the pureness of God that underlies all of the book of James. James has been called by some, even Martin Luther, a right strong epistle because it has nothing to do with the gospel. It's all about do, 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 and by your works you shall be saved and so on. Oh, not so. Underlying James is the wisdom of God that comes to us in Jesus Christ. And so, as 1 Corinthians reminds us, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God to us. In verse 30, 1 Corinthians 1, He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. So, we ourselves become wise. And I'm getting, by the way, now, how this is going to help us keep the commandments of God, specifically the seventh commandment. But here, first of all, you know what wisdom does? It brings you and me into harmony with God. That's the virtue of God, whereby He harmonizes everything with Himself and His knowledge. Well, wisdom in the saving way is God bringing us to Himself and to ourselves so that now we're in a right mind. So that now our emotions are under control and they're not those wild horses that get away from us and seem to rule all of our thinking and so that we don't think and so on in light of the Word of God anymore. Wisdom brings us back to ourselves so that we're reconstituted, as it were. And there is the heart of our life. It's life with God. And there is our mind. It's enlightened. And there is our intelligence such that we discern what is right and what is wrong. And there are all our feelings, and they're brought together at the altar of the cross so that we sacrifice our desires and we sacrifice our hunches and our inclinations and our perversities and our lusts. We do away with them. And we're wise. We're brought in harmony with one another. So we are those who are faithful to our commitments in marriage, in friendship. And we're married, after all, to God. We're the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, which is a bride of Christ. We have that fellowship. When we say, I love you to another, it's showing that we know something of the faithfulness and commitment of God Himself. So we begin to walk faithfully. That's what it is to be wise. Faithfully. Faithfully. That's how I spell faithfully. Faith and then F-U-L-L-Y. Fully believing. That's what wise people do. You see, they don't walk according to the wisdom of the world, which is by sight. Notice that in James chapter 3 and verse 15. There's a wisdom that is not from above, it's from below. It's sensual. You know, a part of the first sin, an important aspect of Eve's sin, was that she saw that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good. She saw it. She didn't believe anymore. She lived by sight. She was the first sensualist. She was living by sight, feeling. That's when she began to put on perfume. Maybe. That's when Adam started going after that stuff. And all of this, not putting down perfume. But the idea that we live by sight and smell and touch and so on. Well, a wise person says, God is from above. I walk by faith because my blessings are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I'm in harmony with God now and I want to do His will. And He says, believe. And when He says, believe too, I do this because I'm committed to Him and He's committed to me. And when I discern God's will, I'm going to do that will. And you see, this aboveness of wisdom is so important for keeping us near to God. So that we're faithful to Him and we're not adulterers and adulteresses in this age. And that's the problem of this age. It's not near to God. And it shows that it's not near to God. That it's not being a faithful creature of God, it's the whole creation, by all of its perversities and twistings of things. Also the sexual relation, the sexual organs. And so that instead of the mind being something which is honored and the beauty of virtue, you have sexual organs and sexual conduct as those things that are honored. Like beasts of the field. The whole human race is like a herd of beasts or a flock of beasts or wild dogs and so on. We show this. This whole world shows this departure from God in this debauched way. That's the age we live in. That's the age in the church that we live in. We live. And even the church is going after wisdom, but it's not from above, it's from below. The wisdom from below that says, well, let's just compromise with this kind of thinking. Let's just compromise and be tolerant in the name of love of those who have a different take on things. So let the man love the man and the woman love the woman. And let it be that marriage isn't so important anymore. It's just as long as you're shacking up and you're committed, that's the important thing. Let it be that way. Let's be tolerant. After all, we live in a broken world, and let's let the broken people in and don't call them to repentance and don't call them to the institution of marriage and faithfulness and so on, as God does. That would be too hard. Let's, in the name of being all things to all men, be right there for them, and even let's just be patient with them in their sin. And even believing that maybe God is loving them too. And tolerating them as we should. Well, the wisdom in my Bible is from above and first pure. That's James chapter 3, verse 17. The wisdom that's from above is first pure. And I believe the first there, the protost, is yes, one in a list. But it heads the list. And it heads the list, and we need to remember this. If you are wise in young people, if you're really being wise, you're first pure. Because God is holy, and wisdom from above is holy wisdom. And in this age, in this adulterous age, that's what you have to know. When everybody's saying it's wise just to do things that mom and dad don't approve of. And it's wise to establish relationships, even if you don't know the person with whom you're establishing this relationship. But she sure looks good. In this age, you need to be wise and pure. Now, the word for pure there is agne. It's a reference to ceremonial cleanness of the washing of pots and pans, for one thing. It refers, though, ethically to pure people, pure hearts. Purity in the holy sense of the word, as we speak often of purity, and in the New Testament light of the purity of a man or woman of God who is keeping not only sexually pure, but in every way is a man or woman of integrity. In every way is right with God. That's what pure is. Wisdom from above. When wisdom comes to you in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you're brought into harmony with God, and you're the bride of Jehovah God through Jesus Christ, you are those who are pure. Pure how? I believe the reference here is to wisdom making us a thank offering. You know, in the Old Testament, children, the thank offerings and all of the offerings of atonement and a burnt offering and so on, they had to be pure. The lamb, the bull, the goat, it had to be unblemished. There could not be any broken leg. There couldn't be spots and splotches and things and a hairless bull that could be brought to God. It had to be perfect. The best of the crop or the best of the flock, the best of the herd. Well, that's what God has made us to be. He saved us by Jesus. He's made us to be pure. And we are to remember that if we are to be the people of God, we are to be the pure people of God that we're called to be. And that is wisdom's first fruit in our life. Be pure. Wise, are you? Be pure. Be a thank offering to God. Be ready to make the sacrifice. Be dedicated to God on the altar of devotion, in the fires of persecution, at the office, in the home, in the bedroom, in the classroom. Pure. This purity is so key to keeping ourselves from this adulterous age and from the sin of adultery. It's key. The purity that comes, that it makes us whole with regard to everything, and that brings us into harmony with God, is key in this adulterous age. 2 and 3, 2 and 3,000, 2 and 300,000, 2 and 3 million and billion of people are all gone astray from God. They're not near to God. That's why all of the immorality. That's why all of the adulteries. That's why all of the divorce. That's why all of the brokenness. That's why all of the unfaithfulness. That's why this affects the church of Jesus Christ. And that's why we need wisdom. We need to show it. The first way to be wise in this earth and pure is to remember the pure word of God. We just sang of that. How shall a young man or woman cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. Psalm 119. That's so beautiful. The way of wisdom then, as the way of wisdom today, is the word of God. The way of pure wisdom, the way of being a man or woman of integrity, is to have this word of God like a flashlight, like a searchlight, like a divinely megawatt bulb shining on your path. Exposing the darkness for what it is, so that you don't go by the darkness and make friends with the darkness. You walk in light. The Word of God is a light, so you don't stumble around in the dark. You don't go off without principles into the back seat of a car because, well, that's what the world does on its dates. The Word of God shining will shine so that we're principled. Before we're passionate. You see, the truth is what sets us free. Passions without truth enslave us. That's what James is saying. For whence comes wars and fighting from among you? All this foolishness, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's the world we live in. In this adulterous age when men are lovers of pleasure, Paul says, more than lovers of God, we have to somehow be pure. Why is it pure? And the Bible, I say to you, is the way of purity. Living by the book. Isn't it so wise of God? He gave us a book. He wrote it down. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. The Scripture is. It's not, children, just because of what your mom and dad say that you have to be pure, because it's what God says. It's not because anybody else says this to you. It's because God does. The wisdom that is above is first pure because this, in light of the Word of God, because the Word of God is from above. It's inspired by God. It's not a human book. Divine. Well, it's a power. A power to lift us up from our sins and to cause us to repent and to divert us from the sinful way. Wisdom and wisdom's word in the Bible and wisdom's principles and the doctrines of truth that are there. That's what keeps us from adulteries and from sensuality and a life of unbelief. Well then, when we have the Word of God, like wisdom, like Jesus, we delight in the Father. That's so important to remember. In all of the do this, do that in Christianity, and there's many, many exhortations. Remember, delight in God. That's why we do everything we do. Wisdom delights in God. You think of that. Instead of delighting in what you see and in this woman who's scantily clad or in those people or whatever, we delight in God. That is so otherworldly. How can it possibly satisfy us? Well, it can, people of God, because God is our life. God is our all. And His virtues are those which are truly saving to us. Oh, indeed, that's so important. In light of the Word of God, we delight in God. We choose wisely as well. We make our choices so that we're walking wisely. We make choices, right choices, about the people who are in our lives. The places we go. A wise person avoids certain places that he cannot handle. Like the bar or whatever. Another person may be able to handle it, but a wise person who knows he can't handle it avoids it. You avoid certain things and you also choose your priorities. That's what it is to be wise. So many good things to do, isn't there, in life? Well, to be wise and keep ourselves from adulteries and the swift descent into just doing whatever we want, we have to do first things first, don't we? And we teach our children that, and we're such a mess sometimes in our homes, aren't we? We're doing lots of good things and here and there and the other thing. We're forgetting the first thing. Well, us men can do that too in our marriages. Men, listen up. First thing in your marriage, first thing in your life besides Jesus, your wife, not your work. Don't be married to work. Not your ball game. Not U of M. Your wife. First thing. That's your priority. That's a wise, pure man. Doing everything. Remember, we heard that in the Bible study. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church. That's how we keep from adultery. Husbands, you love your wife? Peter says, dwell with her. Dwell with her. Don't live apart from her. Dwell with her. Know her. Be with her. Be there. Be a wise husband that way. Faithful to God, faithful to you. That commitment on the earth. And it's first of all not being a good dad. That follows. But husbands, we're good dads only in as much as we are good husbands. The children, You're the icing on the cake, as it were. We love you so dearly. And you take a lot of our time. We give you a lot of our time. We're glad for that. You have to let mom and dad sit on the couch sometimes. You have to let mom and dad go away sometimes on their own to be renewed. You have to let mom and dad have mom and dad talk. We love you. Let us love one another. Our families will be all the happier. Oh, it's such a lovely thing. Men lead the way. Wise men need to lead the way. Wise young men not married, or older men not married. Be wise in having as your priority, if you want a woman of God. Someone you know is a woman of God. Not someone you date to find out if they're a woman of God, but someone you know is a woman of God and a worshiper of God. That's wisdom, keeping from adultery and all the temptations of the earth. And look what James says as well. Pray. Pray. Wisdom takes people and makes them not go forward an inch until they go down on their knees. That's what he's saying from chapter 1 all the way to the end of the book. Wisdom prays. Wisdom depends on God. Wisdom which lives the faithful life depends on God, and therefore it prays, and therefore it would be pure by the grace of God. We cannot do it ourselves. We need God. But we also have to do a lot of repenting. James here is very bold. I hesitate. Any minister hesitates to be so bold as James. But you'll notice in James 4 and verse 4, he calls the whole group to which he's speaking adulterers and adulteresses. That's what he's saying. Now, dare a minister do that in the congregation? On the one hand, he may not do that, lest we be as Moses, who, because he called the people in sinful anger rebels, here now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? He was condemned, not eternally, but he could not enter the land of Canaan. We do that in the church of Jesus Christ, call the people of God gathered in the name of Jesus, believers and their children, rebels or adulterers and adulteresses, and that's as if that's all they are? No. On the other hand, we dare not, people of God, forget that's our nature. We are naturally adulterers and adulteresses. And now James is not, I believe, alluding here to sin against the seventh commandment, but simply to a compromise that leads to sin against the seventh commandment and sin against the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, ninth, and tenth commandments. The problem is apostasy from wisdom, apostasy from the faithful God. That's the problem in our adulterous age. Name a problem, we've left God. That's why there's the problem. And so a minister, and I do that now, addresses you and himself. You adulterers! You adulteresses! You, born in Adam and living that way, to the degree that you do that, repent of your sins. And I must repent of my sins. This is who you are in Adam. You prayerless bunch of ingrates. That's what he's saying. You, so easily led astray at the drop of a bra. Let's be out with it. Repent of your sin. We do that. James is pulling out all the stops. He's being faithful to his commission. See, wisdom from above has to come from a prophet who's from above. He's not afraid of stepping on toes, his own too. We need repentance here in all of our life, also with regard to sexual sin. unfaithfulness, lack of commitment, lack of delight in the things of God and in the people of God that God has given to us. We need repentance. And what James says is we submit to God and we should resist the devil. He goes on in chapter 4 to say that. And he calls us to draw near to God and promises us that he will draw near to us. And we are to cleanse our hands, sinners, and purify our hearts, the double-minded. All of our unfaithfulness is rooted in our wavering faith. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We hear the word of God. Congregation, little flock. Are we two and three gathered together? And there's debauchery. We two or three or 50 gathered together and half of us get it. Half of us want purity and the other half goes in one ear and out the other. Remember, we need to believe in Jesus. That's what repentance is all about. Fly from your sins and fall on your knees and say, Lord, I am a sinner. God be merciful to me, the adulterer, the adulteress. You see, the problem is in ISIS. The terrorists over there are not the problem. Nothing compared to the terrorist flesh. Thanks be to God. The gospel is draw near to God again. Don't run from Him. Repentance isn't running from God, it's running to God. And knowing He'll receive you back. You know that? Right now, you know that? Maybe addicted to a sin. God says, come to me. Leave your sin there, come to me here. And I'll bear fruit in your life once again. And that's the promise we have here. The wisdom that's from above is first pure. It is this. God, when He shows His wisdom from above into your life, into my life, into our family, into our church, He's going to make it pure. And then peaceable, gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's for relationships, you see. Adultery is the sin against relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. But wisdom is for relationships restored. It's for good things with one another. It's for good friendship. It's for good marriages and good courting and all of these good things that we need in this bad earth. And two or three devils are gathered together on every corner. Believe in God. And also that He delivers you from any bondage, any sexual sin you may have, any perversity, any way that you've messed up in relationships. He delivers you from that. And sets you on an even keel, even on the rock. Wisdom. In this adulterous age, wisdom from above, and there's all this adultery below. Believe in the God who's above, who's with us. For where two and three are gathered, we are here. In the name of Jesus Christ. We desire holiness, because God our Father is holy. So be holy, and be happy in that holiness. Amen. Our Father, we pray that You would bless us, everyone and all together, for wisdom in this foolish age, purity in an impure age, to know Your faithfulness in an unfaithful age. We pray for purity. We pray for wisdom. We pray for wisdom's fruits, Lord, here. God bless us. Keep us. Make Your face shine upon this congregation and everyone here and those who may be visiting. Lord, we can be together, this people of God, outstanding for its great and glorious God and its testimony to the truth as it is in Jesus. Our power, our wisdom, our Savior true. Amen.